Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for their shape-up this week are author Jimmy Israel, Republican strategist Marcus Skelton, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, and Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Take it away, Jimmy, who happens to be here with us in Washington.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How are we doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good.
Check this out. This is the last shop of the year.
Hide your kids, hide your wives.
Hide everybody.
I think we're going to kick this week's shop off with a look back. Do I have that right, Michelle?
You know what? We just thought we'd play is it highlights or lowlights of the year?
I
don't
know.
You
are, right?
We'll have to decide.
So we'll just, not a lowlight.
Right. We'll just play some of the exchanges that got everybody's attention over the course of the year. Here it is.
Shame on the Republicans, and shame on all those Republicans who are taking shots at Michael Steele. They wanted a figurehead, someone who could inoculate them, a black chairman they could point to whenever they criticize a black president to say, hey, I'm not racist. Look, I have a black chairman in my party.
The Tea Party has done more in its illustrious 8 months for people of color than the NAACP ever will. End of discussion. Let's just table it and move on.
So LeBron's people developed this idea for an hour-long special, and they pitched it to ESPN. They got a lot of notoriety. They got tons of blog hits, and they produced programming that was awful.
Let's talk a little bit about Steve Slater, the JetBlue flight attendant. I think, like I said, if he was any other color, he'd be in the joint, seven-figure bail. We'd be checking his credentials to see if he was, you know, a pseudo-terrorist or something.
What you're seeing is Tiger's more focused. You know, if an accountant used to go to the bar at night and now he's in trouble, he's not going to the bar no more. He's going to stay more focused on work because he can't go anywhere else. So you're going to actually probably see Tiger Woods get better at golf because his only out is going to be, honey, I'm going to the golf course.
There's always baby mama drama. Let me just tell you that as the single dad in the shop, trust me.
The most offensive thing that Dr. Laura said was this whole business about hypersensitivity. First rule of thumb, if you're not black, don't go telling black people what is or isn't racist about black people.
Neither the 9/11 hijackers, nor the failed shoe bomber, nor the failed underwear bomber ever wore any Muslim garb when committing their acts of criminal terrorism. And so conflating that with terrorism and sort of casting aspersions on an entire demographic group in the United States, I feel is greatly troubling. And that's why I supported NPR's firing.
Wait, that's the question.
I don't know why Ryan's so upset. He got paid. That's what this has resulted in. We have learned that Islamophobia and bigotry is big business. And
he was not expressing Islamophobia. He was expressing...
He said he's scared of Muslim people in clothes. If that's not Islamophobia, you better buy a dictionary.
To put a bow on this, I think these are hard conversations we have to have in the public sphere. I mean, they're not always going to be polite conversations, and they're not always going to be the tenor you want to hear, any of us, but we have to have these conversations.
Marcus was way wrong about Tiger Woods. I feel we need to highlight way wrong about the golf being better.
No, see, his wife left, so now he's got time. He can go out to the club anytime he wants to now. He's a single man again, so he's probably cranking it way up.
You know what he can do now? He can do like a 50 Cent and put poles in his basement and just have parties. He don't have to go out. He can have Club 50 or Club Tiger.
Yeah,
in his spot. Maybe his game is off on the green, but maybe his game is on elsewhere.
He might be. It is the holiday season.
Is there anything else we got way wrong, Pablo?
Well, I'm just glad you guys didn't include my Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl pick. Which was phenomenally bad about a week into that. I'm also glad we didn't have – well, I'm sad we didn't have auto-tune on that. I think the next step for NPR is to do an auto-tune the news type thing every year.
Oy, really?
That's coming. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. It's our weekly barbershop. This is our last barbershop of 2010. We're talking with Jimmy Israel, Marcus Skelton, Arsalan Iftikhar, and Pablo Torre. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Now – 2010 had its fair share of comebacks. You know, those people we thought were down for the count but somehow resurrected their careers.
Well, who do you vote for biggest comeback of the
year? Oh, Juan Williams, most definitely.
Because?
Well,
just to remind people of what happened,
it's
too painful for me, so I'll just let you go.
I mean, old dude got on TV doing what he does, what he did for a living. And he got fired from NPR. The next day he had another gig lined up. So that's not a comeback. I don't know what you call it.
$2 million check. I mean, I'm going to throw out Mike Vick.
Yep.
I mean, he's
hands down.
God. You know, he's not. It's not a surprising thing. I mean, his on-field stuff is surprising that he's had an MVP caliber season. But the fact that he's been transformed, I mean, I feel like, you know, I just kick myself every time I don't predict that a guy like that can be America's sweetheart again in a certain sense. You know, the whole F. Scott Fitzgerald line about there are no second acts in American lives is proven false over and over again, and especially in sport. And he just went from somebody, you know, who spent 19 months in jail, we all know, we talked about it all year, to having an MVP-worthy season, and now he's a top-selling jersey. And this week, President Obama called Eagles owner Jeff Lurie to congratulate the Eagles on giving him a second chance. And I'm a guy, and I'm glad this is another clip we didn't play, I'm a guy who was really harsh on Mike Vick, who didn't necessarily think he should have gotten a second chance in the same business that he embarrassed and violated in some ways. But, you know, he's made the best of that chance, and he's gone from zero to maybe the best player in the league right now.
How do you feel about that, Pablo? And of course, again, I have to give my disclosure on this. Mm-hmm. My husband represented Michael Vick in the allegations that did land him in prison. So how do you feel about it, since you were very critical?
I mean, I stand by my principle in that I don't think anybody should be guaranteed a job that they had lost for, you know, an absurdly criminal reason like that. I mean, I think that he could have played in the UFL. He could have done any variety of other jobs, just because I think the NFL as a business shouldn't have to abide by somebody who was so out of line in such a dramatic and offensive way. But at the same time, I mean, I give him all the credit in the world, and I root for him in the fact that he was given a second chance and he proved them right insofar as he's done all the right moves.
Arsalan?
Yeah, I mean, my vote certainly goes to Michael. I was on the cover of Madden 2004. I let the dogs out, paid my time in federal prison, and am now tearing it up on the field of Vic. Here is a man who paid his due to society. He spent nearly 2 years in a federal prison. People who kill human beings sometimes do not spend that much time in federal prison, as
that's
we
true.
Saw.
Dante Stallworth.
This was a man who did his time, and he's worked his way back, and, you know, not only to the good graces of football fans everywhere, but also to the point where he's still visiting high schools around the country, talking about the ethical treatment of animals, things like that. I mean, it does show that, you know, we can all have our Shawshank redemptions.
Marcus, what do you think?
I was going to say the Republican Party, since we did take over the House.
But,
but
he's just sitting there waiting for that.
Right,
he was
right,
looking,
right.
You know, I see now why he was looking so contented.
That was not a singer.
No, but the more I look at the BET award shows, and I realize that L. DeBarge has resurfaced.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
oblivion.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no
it's
doubt.
One of these things
doubt.
Where.
Well, okay, well, this is. A, wait, let's just think about this for a minute. Republican Party, L. DeBarge. Mm. Republican Party, L. DeBarge.
To the beat of the rhythm
he
of
perform
the
next convention, yeah. Right?
If L. DeBarge ran in the Republican primary, I'd vote for him. We need somebody.
L. DeBarge is a great comeback story. I mean, such a strong songwriter and singer. He came back from the depths of drug addiction. And even incarceration. And he just totally cleaned himself up, and he's back on the scene again.
And you need some good, just pure singers. There's, you know, a lot of people that can just pure sing, you don't really have that now. You got to dance and do everything. You know, he can just sing. And, you know,
Yeah. And he's also a really potent songwriter as
right.
well.
And, you know, it's interesting, though, that the through line, but L. DeBarge and the Vic story is this whole question of surfacing again what happens to people after incarceration and what their mm-hmm. life chances are. Mm-hmm. I mean, these aren't the first people like comedian Tim Allen mm-hmm. or Charles Dutton, the great, you know, actor.
Rock.
Who played rock. But again, it's, you know, we don't often talk about what actually happens to people who don't have those kinds of, you know,
right.
amazing
yeah,
skills,
I mean,
like really particular skills in a particular way. And I think it's interesting that we are talking about it in part because of these circumstances, these stories.
And it's one of the sad contradictions of society where we all scream about, you know, in the political arena, rehabilitation, but when someone actually goes to jail, no one wants to give that person a second chance. And these people have extraordinary talents that their second chances mm-hmm. could not be denied. Someone was going to hire Mike Vick. You look at all the other NFL athletes, NBA athletes that have had criminal offenses. It may hurt them in the endorsement aisle, but their talent is talent. You know, the average plumber that gets in trouble isn't going to have the same opportunity Mike Vick has, and this is something that we do have to look at as far as rehabilitation and someone actually saying, okay, now you can work for me.
But I just want to point out that we had a conversation about this earlier this week on the program. In fact, there was a study by the Pew Center, Research Center, a respected research institution, that says over a lifetime, people who've been incarcerated for only a couple of years suffer a 40% reduction in their earnings, which tends to be concentrated in, guess where, the African-American and Latino community. So I think it is interesting that this issue is surfacing again, even though the cases that people are talking about are so different.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's definitely, I mean, that's a really good point. There's definitely a socioeconomic celebrity gap, if you will, about the stigma attached to prison. I mean, just the number of athletes who've gone through, the number of celebrities who just add to their comeback story. I mean, it's almost a money-making thing to go to jail and then be on the other end and be good again, for as cynical as that is, whereas other people certainly don't get that.
Yeah, try getting a job stacking boxes.
Exactly.
At, a store.
The problem with the rehabilitation piece is it's not a rehabilitation fairy in the joint. You know, I mean, you have to want to be rehabilitated. And when you're Michael Vick, you have a motivation to be rehabilitated. You know, somebody's got to pay for the Hummer. You know, and somebody's got to pay for the bar once it gets bought.
The bar?
You don't hang out in bars. But, I mean,
no.
but athletes come in the bar and they buy the bar.
Oh, I got it.
You know.
I didn't get that. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you for catching me up.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's cool.
You have an entourage, Michelle?
I need to get one. I need to get one.
All I'm saying is, you know, we talk about rehabilitation, but, you know, you have to want to be rehabilitated. No one can wave a magic wand over your head when you go to the joint and say, doing, you're rehabilitated.
Okay, but how do you express your desire when nobody will give you a job? That's the question I have. If you come out and people won't even let you stack boxes, what are you supposed to do? I'd never get this.
Start
concept.
Rapping, I guess.
Yeah, you better find
hope. It's Shibber Day.
Learn how to throw a spiral.
Like 50 Cent, you know.
Make your own business.
Right, yeah, become an entrepreneur.
Or, you know, if you're Elliot Spitzer, you break federal law and go to CNN and get your own show.
And there's that.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, he was never prosecuted, I think, is the point there. Interestingly enough. Speaking, we did have some laughs this year. We did have some laughs, didn't we? A few.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A few. They're looking at me like, what, who? Here it is. Here are a couple more moments that we had over the course of the year.
New York Magazine actually had a great cover story this week on Jimmy Fallon and how he basically doesn't care about the time slot.
Jimmy Fallon does not care about good humor. It's definitely a people problem because, you know what, the Tea Party, you know, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids are more organized than the Tea Party, man.
I wouldn't say that. You will find that out in November.
It's not a foregone conclusion that Miami's going to win the championship next year. They have 3 max guys. They have to fill out 9 guys with minimum wage. You know, me, Blackstone, Jimmy, Eric, and Ruben. We can all play for minimum wage.
So. Jimmy, can we point out that the NBA minimum wage is substantially higher than the NPR minimum wage?
And then there's that.
I think that this is really it for Mel Gibson. I mean, this is it. Elliot Spitzer never bounced back. We'll never see that guy again after behavior like this. So.
He'll be okay.
He's got that Jesus movie money. If I had Jesus movie money, the things that would be coming out of my mouth right now would probably sink NPR forever.
Oh, dear. Well, let's not do that.
Peyton Manning is the Roger Federer of football. And when it comes to his trio of wide receivers, listen, you know, he has Reggie, you know, no relation to John Wayne. He has Austin. My dog's name is Lassie. And yes, she is a collie. And Pierre, I'm a grown man. Don't dare call me garçon. They're going to win last 2-minute drive, 35-31.
Got all that.
Pablo, mi hermano, por... De Ultra Madre, what's up, man? How you living?
Viernes.
Let me just say, that doesn't quite translate out well, brother.
Yeah, no.
I know. My
hermano de Ultra Madre. Brother from another mother, that's right.
Oh, by the way, I just found out the one thing about the Olympics. Lindsey Vonn's medal was just taken away. Barack Obama is going downhill faster.
So who was wrong there? Let's see, Ken Rudin. We have to send him a beautiful email letting him know that he was way wrong. Let's see.
I picked the Colts over the Saints, which did not happen in the Super Bowl.
True.
I was wrong about the Republicans. They were a little bit more organized than Fat Albert and the Cosby.
Slightly.
Well, so let's try it again. Let's look ahead again since we got a chance to, you know, bring some accountability and transparency to our predictions. Let's look ahead to 2011. Anybody want to stick his toe in the water?
Go ahead, Pablo. I'll dive in. You know, it's sports. I mean, let's talk about that first. I mean, there's so many issues: labor, concussions, a New York Super Bowl, the Heat. But I'm going to go with the ongoing rivalry between male athletes and their cell phones. I'm curious to see if they finally win the battle in learning how to not text lewd photos of themselves to groupies and not sext and all of these things. I mean, it's so that, I mean, that to me this year, just looking back, I was looking at the biggest sports stories of 2010, Tiger Woods, Brett Favre, all these other guys who accidentally texted photos of themselves in indecent ways to women. And it's just, you know, how easy is it to not do that? It's just amazing. I'm curious to see. I'm going to predict. I'm going to show faith in our sporting population. I'm going to say that we're going to see fewer major incidents of cell phone related matters with pro athletes.
Yeah, it'll be iPads.
That's right.
It'll be big pictures.
It'll be 3D, I think. Yeah, I think it's the next step.
Marcus, what's your prediction for the coming year that we can tease you about?
Oh, no. I predict the pretty boy rappers like the Kanye Wests of the world and the Drakes of the world are going to pass the Gucci Mans and the T.I.s because they stay out of jail.
Interesting.
Interesting. You don't want to hazard a guess about how Obama is going to do with the new Republican Congress?
I have no idea. I'm very interested in that. I would say look out for Mitt Romney. I'll take a shot at that one. Yeah, look out for Mitt Romney.
Because?
Because I believe people are worried about the economy, they're worried about jobs, and that trumps everything, and they're looking for somebody that creates jobs. I think Mitt Romney has shown in the last election that he really has a record of doing that. And I think he'll probably be one of the better qualified candidates to give Barack Obama a very close election in 2012.
All right. Arsalan, what about you? What are you thinking about for 2011?
As someone who's picked the last two out of the three NBA champions here on the barbershop, I'm going to say that it's going to be a Celtics-Lakers rematch again in the NBA Finals come June 2011. I think it's going to go to the seventh game, but I think it's going to be a different venue in Boston. I think that the Celtics are going to bring it home for number 18.
I love a man with faith.
You got to love it.
I love it.
Put that clip on ice. Let's replay that. I love it.
Jimmy, what about you? What are you thinking about for 2011? What's your prediction?
I think we've seen the end of the sex tape celebrity. I don't think we're going to see any more Kim Kardashians or Paris Hiltons or people whose careers have been manufactured because we've seen what they do behind closed doors or in backseats of cars. I think we've had enough as a society, and I don't think anybody's ever going to be able to cash in like they've cashed in. So I think it's over.
So talent's going to be big in 2011.
Right, yeah, talent's coming back, right?
See, El DeBarge started it off. He didn't need a tape. He didn't need what he sang his way back.
That's right.
That's it. Well, thank you all so much. Happy New Year to you all. I've really enjoyed visiting with all of you this year. It's been great. It's been a great year for all of us. Looking forward to more of that. That's my prediction. Yes. More good times in 2011. With Jimmy Israel. He's the author of the book, The Denzel Principle. Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of themuslimguide.com. He's also a legal fellow for the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding. Marcus Skelton is a Republican strategist as well as a grants advisor for the Higher Education Association in Washington, D.C. And he's newly engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And they were all here in our Washington, D.C. studios from New York. Pablo Torre, a reporter for Sports Illustrated, and he was kind enough to brave the snow-covered streets of New York. Thank you all so much for joining us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Later.
Yep.
That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more next year.